If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 once more as we are looking in the closing moments or the last few Sundays together as we look at what the mighty warriors of faith did as Paul pins that famous passage, the roll call of faith. We're going to be looking at Moses. He's turned up a last couple of weeks in our Sunday school lesson, so we're going to pick up on some of those things. And this is an actual selfie that Moses took on Mount Sinai. Looks remarkably like Charlton Heston. But we're going to be talking about Moses and faith, the choices that we make, or that faith really becomes about making a choice, a fortitude of will to do what God has asked us to do, to participate in His kingdom is a internal strength and a choice to make. I'm reminded of the old rabbinical tradition about Lazarus's last days before Jesus comes in the Gospel of John and raises him. But many of you remember that story. Mary and Martha are trying to take care of Lazarus in his last days. He's fallen deathly ill. And so they've sent word for Jesus and are waiting his arrival, but things are looking bleak. And Martha, being ever the prepared woman of the house, she begins to make some of those Jewish shortbread kind of cookies without the yeast. And so the house is permeated by this smell. And Lazarus is laying there in bed, and he just, this aroma just permeates the house, comes into the room where he is, and he can remember just his childhood and how his mother made them and how Martha had made them for many times in the past. So just a sheer fortitude of will, he rolls out of the bed and begins to make his way into the room where the oven is, and he's stumbling about. His fever is just overtaking him, and he stumbles throughout the house, and he finally falls to his hands and knees and begins to crawl to the small table that she's kind of put some of the fresh ones. And as he reaches up there to grab one, she slaps his hand. She says, "Those are for the funeral." But there's a choice to be made. Life is about when we don't feel like it. And let's just face it, it's time change. We don't feel like it. We can think, you know, our founding fathers did a lot of great things and a lot of wonderful things, and that they just did right. This ain't one of them. Thank you, Benjamin Franklin, but no thank you. But many of us made a choice. We drug ourselves out of bed, tried to get our bodies acclimated to a different eternal clock, so to speak, even though we were desperately felt the pressure pulling at us to stay, ooh, and especially a cold morning, to stay under the covers. And we're going to be looking at Moses and the choices that he made as God spoke into his life, whether they be a burning bush or whether, just like we see in other parts of the scripture, it says where they talked as though they were friends, just almost a face-to-face conversation. So let's look in Hebrews chapter 11, and let's look here in verse 23 and following. Let's stand, let's get a little calisthenics in ourselves, starting in verse 24. Paul writes this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. For he considered the reproach because of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. By faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites." Father, we come and we just pray that as we submit ourselves on this very difficult morning where our minds and our bodies feel as though they're in syrup, and we just ask that you would open up that mind, open up our hearts and souls, that we might see the choice that we made in faith to serve you, to be stalwart defenders and proponents of what you have laid before us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I've got good news and bad news. Many of you realize it is time change. That's the bad news. The good news is I plan on preaching for about an hour. The rest of that good news for some of you is that you can now have your hour of sleep back. But we see in this first point, we see as Paul writes in verses 24 through 27, that the first thing that we see in the life of Moses is that he is selecting a path. There is a destination that Paul constantly reminds us of, that he saw something that was invisible. He saw the one that was invisible. He saw the Messiah that was out there and the reward that he brought with him. I'm reminded of when I was in younger, my brother and I and some of our friends were watching one of those silly TV shows where the most terrible and horrible things happen. And how people survive them. You ever seen shows like that where something horrible happens and then it goes through the story of how they survived it? And in the 90s, there was a short-lived TV show of how would you survive? I forget the name of it. Like if a shark bit you, how would you live? If a thousand bees stung you, well, how would you make it? And it became like this almost MacGyver kind of thing. And we began to discuss amongst ourselves what we would do if a series of terrible accidents happened to us. And I remember I had seen a young lady when I was in elementary school on a playground. She was climbing the monkey bars and fell off, and she broke her forearm. And we knew it was broke because the bone came out. And that was both simultaneously the grossest yet coolest thing I had ever seen. It was like a car accident. I wanted to look away, but I couldn't. And I part of then, you know, the Southern training came in. You just want to, you know, be polite and look away and try to help. But I couldn't. I was just staring at it. It was never seen anything like that. So I asked my brother, who's a little slower? I got the looks and the brains. I'm just saying. I don't want to be boastful, but it's just true. And I said, well, what would you do if you broke your arm in two places? And he looked at me and he said, well, I wouldn't go back to those two places. Because he didn't see that there was a place that he needed to be. There was a destination. There was someone, and that's what Paul says. We're not trying to make it to heaven. I know that seems to be our mode of thinking so many times. Heaven is not the goal. Paul is telling us that Moses made those hard choices, those sacrificial choices, those choices that were both thrust upon him and those choices that he had to stand at the fork in the road and make. He made those because there was someone at the end of that journey. There was a Messiah, one who was invisible. And those are the reasons, that person was the reason that Moses made those difficult choices. So many times we don't make those difficult choices because we're looking forward to a place, not a person. Heaven is going to be wonderful and there are many great things, but think about just for a second, when you think of heaven, you start thinking streets of gold, pearly gates, harps, you know, bodies that don't, you know, wither or break or change or get old. And we start to think of all of the things that are beneficial for us, but we leave out the most important one, and that's the one that the book of Revelations and even some Paul's letters spends a great deal more time talking about, is that there's not a need for a sun because the sun is there. There's not a need for a time because the Father of creation is there. The one who created beginnings and ends is sitting at the middle of it. Heaven is wonderful and will continue to be wonderful and a place we want to be, not because of the things, the mansions made of glory, but because of the one who has been making them out of brick and mortar in a spiritual sense for us. And that is God Himself in Christ Jesus. That is why heaven will be wonderful. We will spend unfettered time we can't have here. We go to our prayer closets, we bend on our knee, we fold our hands at supper tables, and we pray to what we cannot see. But Moses, we see in the life of, in the letter of Paul, is that he could see the invisible. He knew there was someone there, and that someone was worth making the difficult choices for. We think about that often, don't we? Don't you, as parents and grandparents, make difficult choices that you don't want to make because there are kids in the house? Do you know how to spell dad? I know it seems like a weird question, but I'll give it to you. ATM. I remember my children wanted my advice. They wanted to sit in my lap. They wanted to watch TV together, but I only see them in, as they drive by and try to stick something in my mouth to get cash out. Difficult times and changes come, especially if you've got teenage daughters. It's kind of a new territory for me. So every boy that calls, every boy that knocks on the door, every boy that drives up, I tell them, what's the magic number? Hey, what do you mean? I say, it's six. What is that? That's the number of guns I have. Six. We make difficult choices as we select this path we're on. The first thing we see in this first point is that Moses chose the path of righteousness over the world. There was some selling points. Being a daughter of Pharaoh was not so much a royal thing. There's not a lineage that he himself would end up one day being Pharaoh because he was an adopted Hebrew son. He knew that. There was no way that there was going to be Pharaoh Moses, but there were certainly a lot of perks to being part of that family. Many of you remember that story as he looked out and he saw his kin, if you will. His flesh and blood being beaten and broken down in slavery. He saw the malicious treatment of their slavery. And then he looked in his own room, in his own house, and he saw the lavish lifestyle he lived. The wonderful foods, the fabulous clothes, the great parties. All of the things that this world has to offer today was the choices that Moses had to deal with. Was he going to choose a path of righteousness? The path of doing what was right, what we ought to do, a supreme and godly ethic, or was he going to choose a comfortable lifestyle and not to rock the boat, just to get along, to go along, and to have everything that this world has to offer? And Egypt had it. But we see, Paul tells us that Moses chose the path of righteousness. Each of us will wake up every day having to decide whether we're going to choose the comfort of this world or path of righteousness. Will we choose to do what is asked of us, what is commanded of us, or will we choose to be comfortable? What I mean by that is sometimes we feel like we armchair everything. Haven't you heard that? When you have football season rolls around, you have armchair coaches, armchair quarterbacks. And by the way, you can tell that's the end times. The Cowboys finally made a good decision and traded Romo. I can say that because I know some of the Cowboy fans are missing this morning. But there were hard choices that were made. Things that had to be done. Paths of righteousness that needed to be taken. But we wake up and we're armchair quarterbacks. We're armchair coaches. When the Iraq War was on television, remember, you remember all, every time we turned around, there was some televised conflict in Baghdad or in Iraq or even Afghanistan. And there were many people who sat in their chairs and coined the phrase armchair generals, how they were going to do and win this fight. So many times we look at our Christian life and we're armchair Christians. We sit in the comfort with our remote and we flip through the channels and we say, this is what ought to be done, while the whole time our feet are above our heads. Working for God is hard. It is a marathon. It is strenuous. It is tough. tiresome. It is physically, emotionally, and spiritually draining at points. But it is what we are called to do with an intestinal fortitude that our forefathers, before these founders of our nation, but those first century Christians, that's the fortitude where the Roman centurions would say, recount your Christ or be killed, or find your death to be in the Colosseums, or to be crucified along long stretches of empty road as an example of what the power of Rome can do. And those believers look straight into the eyes of their murderers and said, I will not. Fast forward 2,000 years and we sit in our armchairs and go, I will not get up out of this chair. An intestinal fortitude is needed as us as believers, especially in this day and this age where we live with so many compromising morals in our culture. Many of us will choose what is comfortable and easy. And I'm not a big boycott person, but at some point, if they want our money, we should have to say, you're going to have to cater to me. You're catering to everybody else. Disney in this last couple of months has had a cartoon on their channel designed for children that had two men kiss. Now they're going to have that famous Beauty and the Beast moment where two guys have a gay moment. And we'll sit back in our armchairs and we'll do nothing. Or we'll make excuses. That's just the way the world is. That is the way the world is. But what way are we? What way are we? Moses could have sat in his palace and went, man, it sure is rough to be Hebrew. Or he could have chose the path of righteousness. Let's move on. He decided it was better to suffer and to serve than to be happy and rebel. That's a hard one, folks. Because the moment you make this stand that I'm asking you to make, that the King of Glory is asking you to make, you will not make friends. You will lose friends. It will be hard roads ahead. Because the world is heading one way, and you're going against it. You're the one that is a beacon of hope and also a beacon of righteousness. Who will say, these things are wrong, he is right, follow him. And the world will be going the opposite way, be going, no, get out of the way, we want to go this way. And you'll stand in the middle of the road. You know what that, how many of you told your children to go play in the highway? You may have said it as a joke and you didn't really mean it. I think it's a funny thing to say to children until you have that kid that listens to you. Like those actually exist, by the way. But Moses left the palace. When Pharaoh found out what he did, he left the gates of Egypt. Fearing the pursuit of the army, he left the borders of that country. No provisions, no discernible skills, soft baby-like hands as he walked out into the desert because he made a choice for the people of God. And it cost him. Sometimes the choices that we make for God are going to cost us. When was the last time you made a decision that cost you for Christ? That might tell you whether you're living in the palaces of Egypt or backbreaking labor of the slaves, the Hebrews. Let's move on again. He decided it was better to suffer and to serve than to, or I already read that. He picked up the approval of the King of Glory rather than the King of Egypt. He made the choice of who he was going to seek to approve. Whose approval did he want? The choices that we make Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and heaven forbid on Sunday, are all about whose approval we're seeking. We make decisions to win the approval of our family, our spouses, our children, our friends, co-workers even, the world at large, our society that we live in. And so many times we make them without ever taking a moment to consider the ultimate approval. That we, you and I as believers, those who, like Paul said, who are looking forward to the Messiah, do we seek His approval? Didn't we have little bracelets that we used to pass around and wear and make? What would Jesus do? And that was even a song on the radio for so many times. That was all about whose approval we're seeking. But as that fad has faded, so seems to be our commitment. Didn't we sing a song about how it would be 10,000 years we would be in His presence forever, and that would be like a drop in the bucket? It would just be as though the beginning of time for us. And yet we don't seek His approval in almost any decisions that we make. We don't bend our knee and say, God, what is Your will for me in this situation? We just choose our armchairs. Why? Because we're used to it. It's the same choice we've been making over and over and over again. It's comfortable. It's easy. And heaven forbid, adults, that we make the teenager excuse, everybody else is doing it. Nobody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. And we become more consumed with what's going on around us than the one who stands above us. Moses decided to take a path. A path that had never been traveled before. A path that was going to be difficult. It was going to be hard. He didn't have a clue as to how it was going to end up, those first steps out of the palace, but he made the choice. Folks, we don't make choices sometimes because we don't know two steps in front of us, and that scares us to death. Imagine being Moses. The only thing you've ever known is the palace. The only thing you've ever known is Akhmun-Ra, all of these Egyptian gods. And now you're trying to explore your Hebrew culture, and you're beginning to learn about Jehovah. Then you find yourself with a wonderful father-in-law who is a priest, and he begins to teach you and to guide you as to the ways of Jehovah. That's where sometimes you and I are, except we're trying to do all of this wonderful stuff from our armchairs right in the middle of the palace. Let me tell you why we do this, and that's in the last point. Because we're not trusting in the blood. Because we lack faith. The choice of faith. We get stuck in the definition of faith as some intellectual knowledge, that it's going to be some multiple choice question to get into that place that we're looking for. You're not going to get into that place because of knowledge. You're going to get into that place because of a person. The person who will make that place wonderful. And Moses, we see in the writings of Paul, says that he trusted God in the unthinkable. We see here Egypt and Israel were both given a choice, obedience or punishment. That last plague was coming. Moses was taken to the side by God. God said, listen, Moses, we've had several plagues up until then. I'm warming these folks up. This last one is going to get you free. This is going to be the one that breaks Pharaoh's back. I can guarantee you. You need to get the people ready. Moses, you need to, and we see in Exodus where he gives instructions, you need to get the lamb prepared. There's a Passover meal that as soon as that, you're going to eat that, because when it comes, we're leaving. You've got to be ready. It's going to be time. You've got to get the people ready. It's time. And so Moses begins to prepare the people of Israel. And each of them has a choice to make. Whether they're going to believe this crazy guy who only brought misery and hardship through plagues and famine and the whip of their master's back, or whether they're going to just stay in the normal easy chair mode. And I hate to say easy chair when you're talking about slavery, but it's what they were used to. We see so many times as the people of Israel move from the Exodus into the Promised Land, they keep wanting to go back because it was familiar. It was old hat. They knew it. They lived it and they felt like they could handle it. So many times we don't take steps of faith because we don't think we can cut it. I will let you in on a secret. You can't. You can't handle it. That's why He's here with us. He handles it. He handles it within us. He handles it without of us. And that's what we're learning. Moses is standing there. God, I don't know. We've had so many of these plagues. Egypt's not listening. God looks and says, this one's going to do it. Get the people ready. It's coming. Moses prepares the Israelites. He says, you have a choice. You may cover the posts and lintels of your doors with a lamb's blood. You may participate in this meal because, hey, when it comes, we're leaving. There's not going to be time to pack. Now's the time. And each Israelite had the choice to make whether they were going to obey or disobey. So is true with us. It's not that we don't live our faith because we lack the knowledge. It's because we lack the guts to do it. We're too frightened of the future. We're too frightened of the unknown. We're too frightened of other people's approval. And so now the choice lies with us as it did with Moses. Will you make the choice to be obedient, or will you face punishment? Because those are the only two choices. That's it. You can choose obedience or you can choose punishment. Because if you choose to not obey, you choose to reject God's desires, commands, laws for your life, then you're going to choose sin. And guess what sin brings you? Death, pain, misery, woe. All of those are designed as part of sin because they're outside of His will. They're part of the enemy's tasks and tools to torment us. It is only between obedience and punishment. Yeah, there may be a season in the palace. There may be fine clothes and nice crowns to wear. But there will come a day, as it did for Pharaoh and his house, where you have to make the choice and then the bill comes due. And as Moses prepared the people, saying that this is going to be, and by the way, they still celebrate this. Jesus celebrated that Last Supper night with His disciples. As God miraculously did the impossible, the unthinkable, and the Israelites were, guess what? Prepared. Moses prepared. They didn't wait, they left. The death angel came, the firstborn of Egypt's were all taken, and Moses said, thank you, we're gone. And Pharaoh said, good riddance. Faith is trusting God to handle the situation, then obeying what He tells us to in the situation. God promises throughout the Scripture, promises us by giving us the Holy Spirit, that He is going to handle the situation. He's got it figured out. He's got it not only figured out, but He's got it conquered. And then Paul would say later in one of his letters that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Meaning, folks, that we are those conquerors because we're following the conqueror. And that everything is taken care of. There's no sin, no tragedy, no grief, no wickedness that can come into our lives or in this world that He cannot overcome. There is nothing today in our America that was not present in Roman culture. There was nothing present in our culture today that was not present in Egyptian culture. And God miraculously turned and freed His people from both of those things. And so God looks into our lives with the testimony of the Scripture, and that's what Hebrews 11 is. Look at what these people did through their faith in the One who can conquer everything. And so that testimony falls in our lap, and He says, I've got everything that's coming to your life taken care of. Here's what I need you to do. As He looked into the eyes of Moses and said, I've got everything taken care of. Y'all are leaving. Pack your bags. It's done. Here's what I need you to do. And that's where we usually lose Him. He looks into our lives and will claim to those promises. And can I stand on a soapbox just for a minute before we leave? There is this thing going around, and it's been going around for a while, where people pick a life verse. They pick a verse that means so much to them, and they live their life around that verse. Don't do that. There's so much more. A life verse. And guess what? People never pick, and lo, I was born to suffering and agony. They always pick things like, oh, and then God said, here's a Learjet. You're going to get everything you want for them in life. And those are the life verses we pick. You know what Moses' life verse was? I've got everything taken care of. Here's what I need you to do. God tells us, he's got everything taken care of. Here's what I need you to do. And that's where we balk. What? I have to participate? I have to get up out of this chair? I have to leave this palace? I have to get out of my comfort zone? I have to go out and do? What do you mean? Can't you just take care of it? You're God. Just let me know when it's time to go. I've got everything taken care of. Here's what I need you to do. And that's what God left Moses. And we see the difficult choice that he made. Leaving Pharaoh's palace was nothing like leading millions of people into a desert in search of the promised land. With all of their broken society, all of their broken religion, all of their broken personalities shoved together, constantly bothering him as he's trying to discern God's will and the path they should go. And yet God says, I've got it all taken care of. Here's what I need you to do. So we sit here this morning on this awful morning where we all need a little bit more sleep. And God looks into our hearts and he says, the world is going to that famous place in a handbasket, downhill with no brakes. But I've got it taken care of. Here's what I need you to do. Will we make that choice, that internal strength, that fortitude, that courage that comes when we make those steps of faith? What about you? What are your path choices revealing about you? Are you still in the palace? Still in your armchair? Or are you out there in a place that just is a little uncomfortable for you? Wondering where you should go next? Are you trusting the King? And that's our last thing. Are you trusting Jesus? Moses looked forward to a Messiah. He looked forward to being in the presence of that one who was invisible. And he trusted that what this blood was covering was going to protect him. There is no greater protection. There is no greater I've got this handled situation than Jesus Christ, who loved us so desperately that he went to the cross to handle the situation. Our sin, our death, our iniquities, our punishment, all of these things became his as he became that substitution. Not just a substitution because it needed to be done, a substitution born because he loved each one of us. And his grace was lavished with each drop of blood that he shed for us. And we see, as Paul says, Moses trusted in this blood to protect him, to handle the situation. We are left with that choice this morning. Maybe you've never trusted Jesus. Maybe you've been trusting in your bank account, your job, your family, your happiness, whatever. Those things are fine for a season. Paul says that, for a season. But they will fail us. They will leave us empty, broken, and alone. Because they can't make the promise to handle the situations. Jesus Christ tells each of us this morning that I have this taken care of. And it was all borne out on that cross. When he screamed out, it is finished. I've got it taken care of. Will you and I trust him to take care of that? Will we take those steps of courage, swallowing our fear, and do what the King has commanded? Will we follow in His paths of righteousness, or will we sit in our armchairs and watch passively? The choice is ours. Will we choose faith, or will we choose comfort? Let's stand and pray. Father, we do thank You so very much that You've covered all things through Your blood, fulfilling that covenant that we've seen in the life of Abraham all the way to us. Adopted children, a grafted branch into a mighty kingdom. But Father, we live in a fallen world, one full of temptations, so many lures, so many things to entice us. And so many times we've taken the bait. Father, forgive us for making the wrong choices. Strengthen us this morning that we might choose You instead of what this world has to offer. Be with each of us as we make this choice. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. The choice is Yours. What will you choose?